It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
Welcome back to Money for Lunch. I am excited about today's guest. She has been on the show numerous times, and she's always a blast. But we're going to start the show with a quote of the day. Never ruin an apology with an excuse. Never ruin an apology with an excuse. And that quote is not attributed to anybody. So if you know by chance who that quote belongs to, let me know. But I couldn't find who it was attributed to, but it was so perfect for today's show and today's guest. We were talking a little bit before the show started. And so one of the things that she says, it seems like every brand out there is on an apology tour. So let me tell you who's coming on. Her name is Deb Gabor. Deb Gabor is the author of Branding is Sexy. Get your customers laid and sell. Oh, I'm sorry. The author of Brand is Sex. Get your customers laid and sell the hell out of anything. She is the founder of Soul Marketing, which has led brand strategy engagements for organizations ranging from international household names like Dell, Microsoft, and NBC Universal to digital winners like All Recipes and HomeAway and Retail Me Not. Deb Gabor, welcome back to Money for Lunch.
Oh, well, thank you. I always love being on your show. I just want to know how many times do I need to be on the show before I get a big introduction like you, where instead of Bert Martinez, it's Deb Gabor.
Well, we'll have to work on that. We'll have to see what we can do, man.
Yeah, right on. Anyway, well, I'm glad to be here and, glad to talk with everybody today about, you know, what I perceive to be just sort of like the ongoing drama and saga of branding disasters and botched corporate apologies. And your observation that everybody seems to be on a corporate apology tour right now seems to have resulted in what I see are, you know, some major brands that are really suffering, that are spending literally millions of dollars on television advertising and online advertising, trying to get back in bed with their customers.
So we'll start off with, we have so many of them. We have, Facebook, who else? Wells Fargo, there's
Uber.
Uber's
out there.
Well, Uber is like a constant thing. So give me your take. I mean, so let's say when you have a branding disaster like this, an Uber messes up, or, you know, let's say any of these big brands, instead of having an apology tour, what should they be doing?
Well, you know, I think one of the things is to sort of look towards prevention versus making mistakes. So I firmly believe that the best brands in the world are the ones that act like a magnet, meaning they're an organization that has values and beliefs, and as a magnet, they're designed to attract to them customers who share similar values and beliefs, and they put their values and beliefs out on display with every interaction that they have with customers. And if their brand is broken from the start, then they're going to be in a lot of trouble when something goes wrong. It's kind of like if you're in a relationship with somebody, maybe it's your kid, maybe it's your spouse, it could be a coworker. If you have enough positive juju built up in your emotional bank account with that person, then if they do something wrong, then you're more likely to forgive them for it and make up with them and change the nature of your relationship so that you can pursue forward in a positive way. And so, you know, brands like Uber, like Facebook, like Wells Fargo didn't have a whole lot built up in their positive juju built up in their emotional bank accounts with their customers. So then when they screwed up and then continued to screw up and then continued to screw up anymore, you know, when they went to market initially with their apologies, they fell flat to me. So, you know, kind of, you said at the beginning, the unattributed quote was don't ruin an apology with an excuse. I sometimes say don't ruin an apology with an apology, because a lot of these companies have gone out there with like really inauthentic, insincere, too little, too late, hashtag sorry, not sorry, apologies, and then tried to smooth things over with a really expensive television campaign, as Uber is doing right now, as Facebook is doing right now, as Wells Fargo is doing right now. And of all the brands that I've seen make, you know, big missteps in the last couple of months, really just like within the last 6 weeks or so, the only brand that I see that has made a big, you know, they've had sort of a disaster and they've gone to market in a way that I thought was somewhat effective was Starbucks, where, you know, their CEO posted an apology, both a video apology and a letter of apology on the Starbucks website, like almost instantaneously after the incident happened, where he accepted responsibility, where he demonstrated, you know, here's the plan to get through this process. Here's the very first step. We're going to close all of our stores. 29,000 employees are going to go through inclusion training on one afternoon. We're going to close all of our stores to do that. We're committed to making this better. Here's our plan. We're going to check back with you. He was very swift, and it came from him. And, you know, he, as the top dog at the organization, accepting responsibility. You know, I think Mark Zuckerberg in his zipped up hoodie and jeans, you know, standing in front of Congress, there were a lot of questions that he sort of shuffled under the rug. There was a lot of shrugging of the shoulders and things like that and not accepting responsibility. Wells Fargo, we haven't yet heard from their chief executive. We're just watching television commercials that don't even really have people in them. They're just, you know, stagecoaches running around. And the list goes on and on and on. So, you know, just to sum all of that up, in my mind, you know, the first thing to do to prevent brand disaster when something like this happens is to have a great brand where every employee in the organization is empowered to deliver on your brand promise, so that your beliefs and values show up not just in your marketing message and your marketing copy and your advertising and on your website, but in the interactions that your people have with customers. And then the second thing is, like, if bad stuff does happen, you know, there are some very easy ways to make sure that you show up in an authentic and meaningful way when that happens. First thing, you know, show regard for humanity involved, show regard for the people that you hurt, whether that's employees or customers or vendors or partners or investors or whatever. Second, you know, apologize and accept responsibility and accountability. Tell the world next what it is you're going to do to prevent this problem from happening again. Give everybody a plan for what you're going to do. Work the plan and then report on the plan and report on the results and just be open about it. Because if you don't go out there and try to take care of those problems yourself, as an organization, you let the world take on management of your brand on their own. And you know, if you see what happens, hashtag boycott United and hashtag boycott Uber and things like that all over social media over the past couple of years, you don't want to be in a place where you leave management of your brand up to the rest of the world.
Absolutely. I agree with you. What's interesting to me, and this is what you're alluding to, right? That you have somebody like Wells Fargo that is spending all this time and money with these fluffy commercials versus doing what Starbucks did, Howard Schultz, right? And who came out and said, we were wrong. We're going to fix it. Here's how we're going to fix it. Sorry. And actually taking action on their promise. And what always boggles my mind is the lengths and the expense that a lot of these CEOs and a lot of these big companies will go to not to apologize.
Yeah, it's really interesting to me. And I used to have a client that worked in the medical malpractice insurance world, and they actually conducted a study with, I think it was orthopedic surgeons. And what they did was they trained these orthopedic surgeons to apologize when there was a medical mistake. You know, and you think about orthopedic surgery, like you could conceivably go in for surgery and have the wrong leg removed, right? Or the wrong knee operated on or something like that. So, you know, the medical errors that can happen are like really, really serious and egregious. And so they did a study. They trained these physicians how to apologize. and they, you know, put them through a training course, you know, like continuing education hours and things like that. And then they measured in a longitudinal fashion over time the incidences of medical malpractice suits coming from the patients and their families. And they found that the doctors that knew how to apologize and could apologize effectively were way more successful in avoiding lawsuits and, you know, avoiding having to use medical malpractice insurance. And so, you know, I think about things like that, just the knowledge of apologizing, the ability to apologize quickly, like to quickly take action and take responsibility and accountability. It keeps a lot of people from doing bad stuff. And this is where I keep coming back to the having, you know, positive juju built up in your emotional bank account, whether you're a human being or you're a brand. I've been very, very surprised by the fact that I've seen almost nothing from the Wells Fargo CEO versus, you know, the guy at Starbucks, that's Kevin Johnson, who is now the CEO. Howard Schultz, I think, had become chairman of the board, and then I heard rumors that he may be stepping down. Yeah, but, you know, Kevin Johnson, he was out there. He was loud and proud and open and authentic and sincere. Now, you know, a lot of the criticism really is coming from the world about, like, is it too little too late? Is the effort that Starbucks putting forward, is that going to prevent, you know, racism and you know, issues with inclusion and stuff like that? If you just take all of that stuff out of the equation, the fact that there was a swift action taken, that it was very open, that it came from the top guy at the company, that it was, you know, that they clearly laid out their plan. I've actually been driving my clients to go look at that letter on the Starbucks website, my clients, my employees, just to say, like, this is how it should be done. You know, versus, like I said, Wells Fargo, like, I don't even know the name of the CEO. Like, I haven't seen anything, but I sure have seen those Wells Fargo Stagecoach commercials over and over and over again during primetime TV. So a lot of things, you know, about apology are like how quickly you do it, how effective the apology is, how sincere it is, and, you know, who is issuing the apology. But yes, you know, organizations will go to great lengths to not take responsibility for issues. You know, we could rewind the clock to about this time last year when United Airlines dragged a doctor off of an airplane, and it took literally 48 hours before anybody came out to issue an apology. And the apology came out on Twitter, and the 140 characters that were that apology looked like they had very carefully been constructed by a team of corporate lawyers using a bunch of passive voice and a bunch of weaselly words and, frankly, just a bunch of BS. So it's really an interesting phenomenon.
And here's the other lesson from that is, yes, you can get your corporate attorneys to craft a weak apology. It's still not going to stop you from being sued. It's not like the doctor who was battered and drug off that plane looked at that Twitter apology and said, oh, okay, well, I'm not going to sue him now. Mm-hmm. You know, it's ridiculous. I mean, you're so much better off saying, we were wrong, we're sorry, here's how we're going to fix it. It's, you know, I think a sincere apology, kind of like the analogy with the doctor, is the sincere apology is more apt to persuade people not to sue you and not to vilify you in media versus the insincere, weak legal maneuvering that some people call an apology. And I think the example, too, is look at this. You have a doctor who was drugged off United, and like you said, 48 hours later, it's a weak apology. And that really didn't stop anybody's, didn't change anybody's opinion. If anything, it made matters worse. And it didn't stop the doctor from suing United. Now you look at Starbucks, where two gentlemen who were arrested for essentially being African-American and sitting, waiting for a friend of theirs. And because Starbucks went, you know, I mean, they were on it. They apologized. They apologized multiple times. They were very aggressive in trying to correct that. the two gentlemen in question so far have elected not to, vilify Starbucks. They're willing to give Starbucks a second chance.
Yes, they're absolutely willing to give Starbucks a second chance. And Starbucks is actually, you know, from what I've read, Starbucks is actually, you know, trying to involve them or at least, you know, share with them their plans for moving forward. So, apology is like an incredible, it's an incredible tool, right? And one of the greatest benefits of issuing a sincere apology very, very quickly is that it gives the company and the leadership the opportunity to go to market in a way where they can reinforce what their positive values really are. So when something happens that seems to go against the organization's values, it's a time to say, not only are we sorry for this and we take responsibility for this, and you know, here we are very concerned about the people who were hurt by this, here's everything that we're going to do to prevent this from happening in the future. And also, we want to renew our commitment to you as an organization and let you know what we do stand for. So those are the things that we don't stand for, and that behavior was completely against everything we believe as an organization. Here is what we do stand for, and we want to reinforce our commitment to you and reinforce our commitment to our employees, our investors, our customers, everything in terms of how we're going to continue to deliver on our promise to you in the future. It's an incredible opportunity to like hit the reset button on a relationship if you do it right. It can have lasting impact to the brand.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And again, I think that the lesson here is that you can either apologize sincerely and heartfelt and you might still get sued depending on what it is that has happened. But you know what? When you're in front of a judge or a jury and you say, look, we were at fault, we apologize, we did everything we could to correct it, it's going to minimize what happens at the court level. However,
I think so. Yeah.
You know, and let me tell you, I believe so too. And the reason why is because in a former life, you know, I worked in the legal field and I clerked at law firms and I spent a lot of time with judges and juries and all that other good stuff. And people are forgiving of people, especially when they see that there's contrition, that there was a sincere effort. Now, if you are using corporate manipulation or maybe even legal manipulation, you're trying to craft this carefully worded apology letter that sucks and there's no sincerity and there's no heartfelt to it, it's not going to stop anything. I mean, people are just going to criticize you even more because it's so insincere. And if you're really trying to do good by your customers, there's, you know, it's straight out of How to Win Friends and Influence People. When you're wrong, admit it. And what was it that he used to say? Admit it and admit it, not aggressively, but, you know, just admit it quickly, I think is what it was. Admit it and admit it quickly. And that's what you have to do. And not only does it work in the business world, but it also works in the relationship world, right? I mean, with your spouse, with your children, with your partners. You know, when you're wrong, you have to admit it, and you have to admit it quickly.
Yep. And a lot of it really is like the speed with which you respond, right? I mean, think about when you have had some kind of transgression against a loved one in your life. You know, it could be a child or a partner or a parent or something like that. When you don't come in immediately and responsibly and responsively apologize for what happened, whatever happened, it takes on a life of its own, doesn't it? You know, you're wondering, like, you know, hey, is that other person ever, like, are they ever going to apologize to me? Like, I feel like I was done wrong. And you always have that between you versus, you know, taking the opportunity to, you know, to hear from somebody or to say to somebody, like, I am really sorry. Here is what I did. Here is what I am sorry for. Here's what I'm going to do to prevent this from ever happening again. And also, I want to reinforce to you that I love you and I care about you. And it was never my intention to hurt you. And I'm sorry that I hurt you. It goes such a long way. But if you don't do that and you don't do it quickly, like the week or so it takes, then it takes on a life of its own. I actually had this situation this morning. Like, I had a friend who is a mutual friend of a woman that I used to be very friendly with here in Austin many years ago, and she and her family relocated to another state, like probably 15 years ago, and I literally had not spoken to her since. And a mutual friend of ours contacted me today to tell me that she was terminally ill. And, you know, what he said in this call, he's like, I think you guys had a falling out, and, you know, you probably don't know this. And I said, well, you know, to be correct, I don't think we had a falling out. I think she moved to another state and our relationship just sort of fizzled out and we weren't still friends, but I appreciate your letting me know this. So, you know, in my mind, the last 15 years, because I never, you know, I never communicated with this person at all, the nature of our relationship, it took on a life of its own. It took on a life of its own, and the new narrative, the new story, was that I was estranged from this person. It wasn't that I was estranged from this person. It was that this person moved to another city. But who knows what was going on in her mind? Either way, like, that's an example of how easy it is for things unintentionally to take on a life of their own. So if you are an organization, you are the leader of a business, your business screws up, which, you know what, this stuff happens. Like, I run a business.
Yes.
All day, every day, and, you know, we've made mistakes with our clients. The very first thing we do is we apologize, we take responsibility, we reinforce our commitment to the client, we let them know exactly what we're going to do to, you know, turn things around. And I will tell you, in the cases where that's happened, 99 and 44/100% of the time, that strengthens the relationship that we have with our clients. The fact that we admit responsibility, that we accept accountability, and that we move quickly and apologetically, it doesn't take on a life of its own, and that actually makes those relationships long-term more productive, more profitable, and we bond with them closer.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I love that. It is... It really goes back to, you know, is it the golden rule or the golden – anyway, people like you want to be treated.
Yeah, exactly.
How hard is
that?
So
not the golden rule, which is like the treat people like you want to be treated and then run like hell so they don't treat you like that too or something. But more the, like, you know, like, do unto others as you would like to have them do unto you. It totally makes sense.
It does. And in the business world is no different. And I think that there is so much to learn from the branding disasters, right? And again, the big takeaway is, you know, you're wrong. You admit it. You admit it quickly. And I think in the other thing I was looking for in How to Win Friends and Influence. How to Win Friends and Influence People is you admit it quickly and admit it often. So
yes,
maybe the first 3 or 4 days you admit it a lot, you admit it often, and then after that people are kind of don't want to hear your apology anymore. You know, I think President Clinton, whether you liked him or disliked him, he to me was a great reminder, because when he was being prosecuted and all sorts of stuff because he would not admit he had sex with that woman, and everybody in the world knew he had sex with that woman, you know, and his body language gave him away, language of Hillary Clinton gave it away. Everybody knew that he was being insincere, and it just created a big monster. But
yep.
Once he said, I was wrong, I didn't have sex with that woman, and the world forgave him, and at the most part, had moved, you know, were ready to move on. They were just like, yes,
yeah.
we knew that. Thank you. Now we can move on about our business. It just stopped all sorts of stuff. But for like, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks while he denied it, it just, you know, nothing was happening other than him denying it. And anyway,
yeah.
to me, there's a great lesson that, again, maybe you're not a company, but maybe you're a speaker or a politician or something else where you are the brand. And again, the same rules apply. And Deb, we're out of time, but I want to thank you so much for stopping by. Let me ask you this. If somebody wants to find out more about Deb Gabor or maybe need some help with their brand, where can they find out more about you?
Well, there's a bunch of places they can do that. They can go right to brandingissex.com, and they can find out about the book, about me. They can link to my company. They can see, you know, the topics that I speak about, other things that I write about. Or soulmarketing.com, and that's soul, S-O-L, like the sun, not like shit out of luck. And I'm all over Twitter, at Deb_soul, or, you know, you can just do a Google search on me. I literally am very, very easy to find, and I love to hear from people about their branding questions and potential branding disasters and, you know, helping them build great brands that will bond emotionally and create those conditions of irrational loyalty that we talked about last time. So I thank you so much for having me back on. I love coming on your show, and I love what the last guy was talking about too. So thanks again.
You bet. Good stuff there from Deb Gabor. And you can go to brandingissex.com, brandingissex.com, and learn about getting your customers paid and sell the hell out of anything. I love that. As always, my friends, let's share this episode with as many people as we can. Let's help people get over their branding disasters. And as always, remember, you were created.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.